If you've been channel surfing this week, chances are you've stumbled across some college basketball, and some more college basketball, and some more. That's because this is Championship Week, which ends this weekend with Selection Sunday, followed by the NCAA tournament, March Madness, or the Big Dance. Sports writer Stefan Fatsis at the Wall Street Journal is here to help define those terms for us. And Stefan, you'll have a couple of articles in a special section in the Journal on Monday. Let's start with a broad outline of the tournament.
Well, 64 teams in the women's tournament, 65 in the men's. Very similar process in picking those teams. On the men's side, you've got 31 automatic qualifiers. Many of those will be decided on Sunday in the championship games of conference tournaments. Once those games are done, a very, very secret 10-person NCAA selection committee will pick 34 other teams to join the field. They'll seed them, they'll pair them off. No doubt the committee members have been watching a lot of that TV this week. Three ESPN networks will have shown 90 men's games and 9 women's games. That's about 200 hours of basketball when it's done.
So how do the NCAA folks decide who's in and who's out?
Well, a big consideration is something called RPI, which stands for Ratings Percentage Index. It measures the winning percentage of a team and its opponents and its opponents' opponents. And this year there was a big change. RPI now gives more credit for teams that win games on the road and less for winning at home. That's going to create a lot of squawking. A lot of people feel that's inflated the RPI of lesser schools. The NCAA committee also looks at how teams have performed against other good teams. And everyone knows there's an inherent, if I think, unadmitted bias favoring schools in power conferences.
But there are a lot of smaller schools that also go to the NCAA, and they're making a lot of noise.
Yeah, they are, and I think this is a good year to keep an eye on them. There's been a lot of flattening in college basketball, fewer stars because of people leaving for the pros. The talent is spread thinner, and it's going to happen one year. One of these mid-major schools is going to make it to the championship game. This year's Cinderella candidates to watch out for: Gonzaga, the University of the Pacific, and Nevada.
What about the women's tournament?
31 automatic bids there as well, 33 at-large bids. More parity than ever this year. It's going to make seeding these teams a lot more difficult. The most notable development this year has been the relative lack of success of the University of Connecticut. Now, UConn won the last 3 NCAA championships. They've won 4 of the last 5, but they lost 7 regular season games this year, and they're only ranked 11th nationally. They did, however, win the Big East tournament this week, but they still might end up with a low for them 3rd seed in their group of 16 in the NCAA tournament.
Now, you mentioned the Big East Conference. In that conference, the men's tournament is taking place right now, and for a lot of people, this is a bittersweet weekend.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same Big East next year. The conference was formed in 1979, and the membership made a lot of sense. It's sort of a Boston to Washington corridor group. Eastern teams, predominantly Catholic schools, and over time, it's really produced some of the most classic rivalries in college basketball. Villanova, Georgetown, UConn, St. John's, Syracuse, Boston College. But the pressure of making money is changing things. Boston College is leaving to join the Atlantic Coast Conference, and that's mostly for football reasons. And the Big East is going to turn into a mega conference with 16 teams.
Thanks, Stefan.
Thanks, Michelle.
Stefan Fatsis covers the business of sports for the Wall Street Journal.